The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, just 1 year since becoming leader of Fine Gael and almost 1 year since taking over as Taoiseach, Simon Harris is now 2 months into his new job as Taoiseach, Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade and Minister for Defence. It's a brief that has not been quiet in the first 2 months, with the return of Donald Trump to the White House, the threat of tariffs looming and war continuing in Ukraine and the Middle East. And all of that is against a background of significant issues in getting the 34th Dáil up and running. I'm joined now by Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs, etc., etc., Simon Harris. Good morning and welcome, Taoiseach.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you for having me.
I have to ask you, first of all, about the Business Post poll yesterday. A drop in support for your party of three points. Not the news you want coming up to Liberation Day.
Well, look, I think we're about, what, 4.5 years out from general elections and local elections and European elections. And I think people will ultimately be judged at the end of this Dáil term based on what they have done for the Irish people in terms of delivery. And that's certainly where my full focus is on, delivering for the Irish people. We got a mandate from them. We saw a lot of the pundits, we proved them wrong in terms of getting more votes in the local elections than any other party, more votes in the European elections than any other party, gaining seats in the Dáil, gaining votes in the Dáil and getting back into government. But now it's really about delivery. And quite frankly, until you're much closer to an election, polls are just interesting, but not profound.
The message from the Business Post is Harris must slow his relentless pace to revive his flagging party.
Well, no, I think what my party must do is deliver for the Irish people. And of course, the world is an extraordinarily busy place at the moment, both domestically and abroad, whether you look at the scale of conflicts, the impact of those conflicts, indeed on the European Union, indeed on our own country, and also a number of the very significant challenges coming up around trade and tariffs. I've no intention of slowing down, I can assure the people of that. But what I certainly do intend to do is ensure, when I talk about new energy, it's not just new energy in terms of campaigning, it's new energy in terms of delivering for the Irish people. And I've said to all my ministers, all my new TDs and senators, delivery, delivery, delivery for the Irish people is at the heart of what we must be about.
Okay, delivery, delivery normally means resources. You have to spend the money to deliver. With these challenges from the United States, I mean, the threat of the reality of tariffs from Wednesday, in addition to those already imposed, the threat to our pharma industry, which is very significant as an employer, the threat to our tax base, because it may well be that Trump wants to onshore more of the taxes that are currently paid in Ireland. I mean, this is not going to be easy to deliver on the programme for government if the resources are threatened.
Well, look, what I want to say to the listeners is this. I mean, we're certainly about to enter a period of extraordinary economic turbulence, not just in Ireland, not just in Europe, but around the world. There is no doubt that President Trump has a view of the world and intends to endeavour to impose that. What I would say to people, though, is this. We are approaching this from a position of strength, a position where we have full employment in Ireland, where we've been running budget surpluses, where we've been setting aside money into rainy day funds. You remember Fine Gael used to get criticised for putting money into the rainy day funds. I think we'll be very glad that we've established that buffer now. And we're also, and I say this very respectfully to our colleagues in the United States, I think people are going to realise in time that the world's a lot more interdependent than perhaps President Trump suggests from time to time. Yes, there's a lot of companies that have located here in Ireland. Yes, we have benefited from that. But as I consistently say, they haven't come here for the weather. They're here because this is a good location in which to do business. And about 60%, 50 to 60% of what they're producing here in Ireland is being exported into the European Union. And of course, that's a key market. That's a benefit to the American economy. So what we need to do in the days ahead is stay calm, stay measured, work at a European level, and be strategic and coordinated in how we respond, because tariffs are not good for anybody. And I think the laws of economic gravity will prove that.
But it might take time for Trump and his cabinet to learn those lessons. I recently just come back from Australia, and over there, the pharma industry is being threatened by the United States. I mean, it's quite extraordinary the reach that the United States feels it has over the world in general. I mean, most recently, you probably heard he wants the abolition of DEI policies in companies that are doing business with the United States, even if they're based in Europe and subject to European law.
Yeah, look,
I mean, this is crackers.
I mean, I think the job of us in Ireland and the job of us in the Irish government and the job of us in Europe is not just to become commentators on the United States for the next 4 years. That would be exhausting and it would be counterproductive. What we need to do is control what we can control. And the reality is this, not just in Ireland, but in other countries across the European Union, including Denmark, including Belgium, including the Netherlands, Sweden, there's a very vibrant and strong pharma industry. And there's people working in those plants day in, day out, producing medicines and producing products that are good for people in Europe and good for people in the United States of America. The reality is that global supply chains are much more interdependent. If the view of President Trump and his administration is, there's companies in Europe, I'd like them back in America, on one level, one can understand that view. On another level, though, it misses a number of realities. We live in a very globalized world. And actually, a lot of what we're producing in Europe is actually going back to American factories for value added. Irish pharma companies or pharma companies based in Ireland are paying royalties to the United States. So my message to the people of Ireland is this. Yes, we are entering a time of extraordinary economic turbulence. We're in no way complacent about that. We're working around the clock on that. But what we've got to do here is be calm and be measured. We've got to work at a European level. We're part of a market of 450 million people in Europe. We'll have this announcement, what President Trump calls Liberation Day, on Wednesday. And we will survey that situation then. And then the following Monday, the 7th of April, next Monday, we will have an EU Trade Council meeting, which I'll represent this country. And we will work at an EU level to see how best to respond. And the aim here has to be simple. To navigate and negotiate, to get the United States around a table, not get into tit for tat, but to try and sit down and find a way.
This sounds like appeasement to me.
No, what appeasement?
We won't punish you. You're punishing us. We're not going to punish you.
Oh, no.
Why not? Because the only thing a bully understands is being bullied.
Well, I'm not going to use that language, but let me be...
I can.
You can, but I'm not. But what I am going to say is this. Of course, the European Union will have to respond. Absolutely. The European Union is a major economic bloc, and I believe the United States needs the European Union. It is good for the US economy, 1.6 trillion euro worth of trade between the EU and the US every year. But what I'm saying is, in how we respond, we have to be intelligent and we have to be strategic, because any response has to be about ending the trade war, not escalating it. It has to be about getting the United States and the European Union around a table. When I spoke to the US Secretary of Commerce, Howard Lutnick, the other night, I made that point. Ireland and the European Union want to do business with the US, and we want to get around the table.
How do you tell Lutnick and other members of the cabinet, including the man at the top, Donald Trump, that they're wrong without forcing them to admit they're wrong? Because that's the one thing he won't do. He won't say, I made a mistake. I am wrong. My economic policies are daft. He won't say that. So if you want to reverse this rather bizarre course he's taking, you've got to do it in such a way that he feels he's won something.
Well, look, in any negotiation and in any engagement around trade policy, of course, there should never be a winners and losers in negotiations. Everyone needs to feel they get a fair outcome. And what I would say is this. The European Union wants to do more trade with the United States. We want to buy more products from the United States. We want to do things that are good for the US economy as well as the EU economy. What we need, though, is clarity and certainty. What we've heard so far is rhetoric or headline announcements or announcements about announcements that may come on Wednesday. Really, once Wednesday comes, the curtain is pulled back. We see clearly what President Trump intends to do from a policy point of view. And then what I hope, and I said to Secretary Lutnick, is there needs to be time then for engagement and negotiation. What you've seen from President Trump is he's often announced things but said we will implement them at X date. What Europe will want to do and what Ireland will want to do is use that time to engage and negotiate and get to a good outcome. And the other point I make when I talk to everybody in the US administration and everybody in the United States is Irish companies are now creating a hell of a lot of jobs in America. We are now the sixth largest foreign direct investor into the US, and there's around 200,000 people who'll get out of bed in the United States today.
He doesn't appreciate that.
And you
can make that point, but it's not going to do us any good. He'll just say, so that's great. The American market is great, and that's why you're there. At least you're making your money and your profits and paying your taxes in America, but you're here because we're good for you.
And we'll respectfully say they're here because we're good for them. The point I'm making is it is a two-way bilateral relationship. And I do think there's an appreciation amongst in the United States of that point, and it's a point we're going to consistently make. Some of what is said about Ireland is very much of the times gone by. This is not just about US companies creating jobs in Ireland, though that's important. Mm. It's now about Ireland playing a very important role into creating jobs in the US too.
The Prime Minister of Canada has said the old relationship we had with the United States is over. I mean, is that what the world is facing, to admit that the country they thought was friend is in fact at worst foe and at best indifferent to us?
Well, our relationship with the United States is so historic and enduring, and it will endure this period of time. Of course it will. The bonds are close between our peoples and our economies. But it's certainly true that it's likely to change. I mean, when you see the position being adopted by the United States on a number of key issues, you know, voting in a very different way to Europe at the UN in relation to the war in Ukraine, wanting to withdraw from climate agreements, you know, it is no longer the relationship that we've been used to. And we do need to navigate that. In many ways, we've been through a lot of crises in Ireland over the last decade, Brexit, COVID, the financial crash. In many ways, this is perhaps most like Brexit in the sense that it's going to require navigation and negotiation. But the relationship will endure because it is interdependent.
Now, who knows? And this is one of the issues they have in the United States. People are unwilling to invest in the United States at the moment. I mean, the big American spenders, because they are concerned. They don't know which way this is going. And if, for example, you tell some car company, Volvo, whoever it might be, if you want to sell Volvos in America, you've got to build them in America. That kind of relocation of plants can take, according to most experts, up to 7 years.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, every American pays $12,000 to $50,000 extra on a car such as that, except a Tesla.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, there's a at some point the laws of economic gravity have to actually kick in here, because you know this President Trump got elected. He won the election of that. There's no doubt. But he also got elected promising people that he was going to try and help them with the cost of living. And what we definitely know is tariffs push up the price of goods, the price of services.
He has also said he doesn't care if Americans have to pay more for their cars, which seems like an odd message to be passing on at a time when he promised to lower prices.
Yeah, so I think there's two things here. I mean, firstly, we have the huge level of uncertainty that you rightly allude to, where we have yet to see the detail of what President Trump intends to do in a number of areas. We have announcements about tariffs that have yet to kick in, but will in the coming days. We have a new raft of tariffs likely to be announced on Wednesday. When they will kick in, we don't know. And my message and the message of the Irish government is quite straightforward. Please provide the clarity in terms of your policy intent, and then let's sit down around a table with the European Union and let's work a way forward that is good for the people who voted for President Trump and is good for the people in this country and good for the European Union.
Now, the question of what Europe can do, I mean, there are American bases all over the place. In Italy, there are many. In Germany, there's one big one, Ramstein, and there's an American presence on British soil and so on. I mean, is it time to get tough with America and say, you are depending on European soil for your strategic presence? It's time to end it. If you're not going to help us, we're not going to help you.
I think that would be very escalatory, and I wouldn't like to see us get to that point. But I do think President Trump is not wrong in everything he says. And let's remember this. We do need to take our own security and defence in the European Union much more seriously. And I'm a big believer in controlling what you can control. And there are certain things we can do in this country right now. And there are certain things we can do in the European Union right now to make ourselves more resilient. So investing in our own indigenous businesses, acting on the reports that Ireland has championed at a European level, the reports by Mario Draghi on how to make the European Union more competitive, investing more in defence and security, not because we want war, but because we want to ensure peace, increasing the capabilities that Europe has, that Ireland has around radar and sonar. So I want to come back to that point. I think it's deeply frustrating and exhausting if politics in Europe and Ireland for the next 4 years is going to just be about commenting on what happens in the Oval Office. Of course, that's extremely relevant.
But if he's trying to interfere in the way we run our business in an orderly fashion, for example, those DEI rules which he wants abolished in European companies that want to do business with America.
Yeah, and we have to be true to our European values. I mean, we have to be true to European values. I also have a mandate. People right across Europe have a mandate. And we have to be true to our values here. We have to engage in a respectful manner. Of course, we have to recognise the fact that the United States has significant global heft. It absolutely does. But you know what? So too does the European Union. That relationship, 1.6 trillion euro in trade between the EU and the US each and every single year, matters to the United States as much as it matters to the European Union. So this is why we do need to stay calm. We do need to be measured, and we do need to take this in a deliberative, unified fashion. There are certain people in the United States who'd love nothing more than for the European Union to become convulsed, or indeed for Europe to show disunity. That's why it's so important we stay unified, and it's why I'm having a series of meetings with EU counterparts today, and really every day this week.
Now, Denmark and Greenland, and over the weekend, Trump has said he does not rule out the use of military force to take Greenland. I mean, this is utterly unacceptable to Europe.
Of course it is. And really, I think, utterly unacceptable to international law and to the rules-based system in which we live.
So why are we trucking with this man who has obviously dictatorial, despotic ambitions?
So I don't buy into that viewpoint. What we're doing is we're doing trade and an economic relationship with a country that we value in terms of that economic relationship.
But a country that has ambitions to take a chunk of Europe and by force, if necessary.
And obviously, should that arise, and it hasn't arisen, of course, should that arise, of course, Europe will speak with a very clear, united voice in relation to that. Of course, there's a load of issues for military alliances, which Ireland isn't a part of, in relation to NATO and the likes too. But certainly, I'll be talking to my Danish colleague this morning, and no doubt that issue of Greenland will come up in conversation, because I know this is causing significant concern in Denmark, and for very good reasons, and I would imagine in Greenland too, where they've just had an election and elected their own prime minister too. So we've got to, but we do also have to, when it comes to the new United States administration, and this is just a reality, we do have to judge them based on what they do and not just what they say.
They have a treaty with Greenland, which allows them to have, I think, up to several thousand troops and many bases there if they want. But instead of actually, you know, going back to that treaty, they've reduced their forces from a couple of thousand down to a couple of hundred. They could, of course, go back to that treaty and upscale their presence in Greenland without having to take it over.
Yeah. So I've heard my Danish colleague make the point, and I've heard Denmark make the point that, of course, there is a way forward here that addresses the very legitimate security issues that Europe and the United States feel in the geopolitical world in which we live. But as with all things with the Trump administration, it's how you go about it. You know, we've heard President Trump talk a lot about wanting peace in Ukraine. Who can disagree with that? It's how you bring about the peace. He talks about the importance of Greenland from a security point of view. We understand that, but it's how you address that. And as you say, the legal ways that there are to address it.
Now, the coalition of the willing that will hopefully reinforce the peace in Ukraine, if and when it happens, Ireland, can it be part of it in some shape or form?
Yeah, and I don't mean to be pedantic here. It very much depends on how you define it. So, I mean, Ireland is very clear that we're very proud of the peacekeeping role we play in the world. I'm just back from visiting our troops in Lebanon. Extraordinarily proud of the men and women of Oglig Naharan.
Where you were spied upon by the Israelis throughout your visit, it would appear, by drone.
Well, they certainly kept a close eye on us on our travels, but that certainly didn't deter us from the... I wanted to thank the troops on behalf of the Irish people, but I also wanted to see firsthand the impact of the conflict in Lebanon and the devastation. 4,000 lives lost in the last year, 258 children's lives lost, 15,000 people injured, the most beautiful country from a scenic point of view, and the devastation that conflict has caused. Very proud of the role that our peacekeepers are playing there and very grateful to them and their families for the sacrifices they're making. Point I was coming back to was this. We have that proud track record of peacekeeping, and we obviously can't jump too many hurdles at the moment because Putin has yet to show any interest in peace. But of course, if we arrived at a point where there was a peace in Ukraine and a need for a peacekeeping mission, of course Ireland can't recuse itself from being a part of that. And in that sense, we'd very much be happy to be part of any peacekeeping coalition.
Keeping but not enforcing, is that it?
Likely, yes. And I think obviously the safety of our own troops and obviously our military neutrality being to the fore.
Now, the question of investing in our defences, level of ambition 3 is what you want. And that's a technical term for the amount of money you spend, basically. Your coalition partners, Fianna Fáil, not as enthused.
Well, I'm sure they are because it's in the programme for government. I mean, the programme for government says let's get to level of ambition 2 as quickly as possible and then plan for level of ambition 3. There's been very good work done over the last number of years in terms of increasing investment in our defence forces, and we're all united in relation to that. Ireland is proudly militarily neutral, and let me assure everybody we've no intention at all of changing that. We really value that. I really value that. But just because you're militarily neutral doesn't mean you're immune from threats. We have a lot of sea, a lot of coastline, a lot of waters around our country, and you need to know what happens under those seas and what happens above those skies.
And we don't at the moment.
Well, obviously, we do have ways of knowing that, and Ireland is plugged into a number of mechanisms, but we certainly need to do more. We need to do more in relation to our radar capacity, our sonar capacity. We need to invest more in the men and women of Oglig Naharan. And I'm very determined, and I welcome the fact that there's significant public support for this, that you can invest in defence and security while remaining militarily unaligned, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
And that was indicated in the poll, in the Red Sea poll yesterday. The question, I don't know whether you saw that report from Patrick Bury, wargaming, if you like, a scenario where Russian ships would be over our cables, the 20 cables that come into Ireland with data, which is the lifeline of the whole globe. what we could do about it if there was a reported Russian submarine in the area.
So I obviously don't overly comment in relation to security matters for obvious reasons, other than to say Ireland is very alert, as is the European Union, to the importance of undersea cables. And we obviously have a number of mechanisms and partnerships in place already. But I do want to do more in terms of our capabilities. And I've been very clear in my instruction to both the heads of the Defence Forces and the Department of Defence that the normal kind of build up an L business case and go to procurement and everything truck along and take far too many years won't suffice in relation to this situation. We need to be much more proactive when it comes to garnering those capabilities.
Do we need to accelerate to level of ambition three more quickly?
So we have to be truthful about this. If you had all the money in the world today, you wouldn't get to level of ambition three because it is about, you wouldn't get to it quickly because it is about layering up. But year on year, we can make real progress. We're already making progress. We're spending 1.35 billion on defence this year. We're on track to reach that 1.7, 1.8 billion by 2027, 2028, which would basically get you to your level of ambition two. And what I've asked my officials now to do is prepare a detailed implementation plan of how you'd go from there to level of ambition three.
X, are you still on X?
I am.
Why?
It's a very good question, actually. And I ask myself this. I ask myself this on occasion because I am concerned about, I'm concerned in general about the social media algorithms and the likes. I'm on it, quite frankly, because I think it's always important on balance to be present where the electorate are, where the public are, where your citizens are. But I do find myself using more and more platforms and diversifying the platforms that I'm using.
But it's the Elon Musk factor. You know, I know that a lot of people won't buy a Tesla because of they are calling it, what is the swastika car? Because of his gesture, his Nazi gesture and so on, and his odd behaviour, to put it quite simply.
Well, look, I mean,
I don't want to truck with anything to do with him.
Well, I don't, in the role that I have, I don't like commenting on one individual other than to say I do think it's important that Ireland and Europe, even in this turbulent world, stays true to our own values and our own position in relation to digital media. Digital media, social media has been a force for good in many ways, but it cannot be the Wild West and it cannot be allowed to self-regulate. And I'm proud of the work that we're doing at a national level around our Commission of Man, our Media Commission, and the work we're doing at a European level. Regulation, of course, can never stifle innovation. But this idea of kind of no regulation and leave everybody at it is a danger to our children and potentially to our democracy.
The final question is really a philosophical one, or maybe a historical one. Are you fearful that you might, and this Irish government and many European countries, will end up on the wrong side of history? That, you know, we didn't stand up to Donald Trump. We worried about jobs and trade and taxes and tariffs and all the rest. Instead of looking at what's happening to the American country, it's becoming a dictatorship and autocracy before our very eyes. And it's not even a slow motion thing. It's accelerating if nothing else.
President Trump was democratically elected in the United States and is the democratically elected president of the United States. And he clearly won a mandate from the people in the United States. What I'm very clear about, not to be too philosophical or too much looking to history, but in the here and now, it is so important that Ireland stays true to its values, that Ireland acts in interest to protect its own jobs, investment, that we control what we can control, that we influence what we can influence, and that we don't allow ourselves become convulsed by noise from elsewhere. We're proudly members of the European Union, one of the most successful innovations in the world for peace and for economic and social well-being. We've got to continue to work closely on European unity. And you know what? I want the people of this country to know we will get through these times. We'll get through them together. We always do. And we keep at it day by day, calmly working our way through.
Tánaiste, Minister of Foreign Affairs and Trade, Minister for Defence, Leader Fine Gael, Simon Harris, thank you very much for joining us in studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.